This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan.
Callum McSwiggan.
On FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today I am joined by the wonderful, the best girl in the world. It is Joy. How are you, Joy?
I'm good. Thanks for that introduction.
Of course, it's absolutely true. For the people out there, for the people out there who don't know who you are, do you want to give them a little intro into who you are and what you do and why I am so madly in love with you?
Do you know what? I should have practiced the answer to this question. Oh, thank you. I'm in love with you too, by the way.
Oh, babes.
Actually, you did tell my boyfriend that.
Did you really? Was he jealous?
I legit did. He was like, that's not cool. Don't.
You know,
say that.
I probably shouldn't admit this live on the radio, but I was actually having a little stalk of your boyfriend the other day.
Really?
You posted a beautiful picture.
Oh.
And yeah, he's a hunk of a man.
Do you know what?
Is he listening?
No, he's actually in Brussels right now.
Okay. That's probably for the best.
Yeah. I was actually thinking, I was like, should I, maybe when he comes back, I should give him the link back to listen back to the show. And I was like, no.
Absolutely not. Just hide that link as far away as you can from him. He doesn't need to listen to this.
Yeah.
He does not.
So I can be as honest and raw as possible. And he'll never know.
Like, yeah.
Just never know.
So tell us what it is that you do.
I'm a physio. So
you are.
I'm a chartered physiotherapist, but I'm also a fitness blogger. So that all kind of ties in nicely. And then I have a passion for photography as well. So I do a lot of photography. Yeah, so that's kind of... I can't really describe... You know when people, like, describe yourself, who are you? I'm like, gosh, who am I?
It's
like,
hard. It's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
You need to prepare that elevator pitch.
I know. And that's why I'm now, like, you know... saying to myself, I should really have prepared an answer for this because I never know what to say when people like describe yourself. But yeah, I don't know. I'm like a bit of a creative and yeah. then, you know, health and fitness. I'm not a health and fitness freak or whatever. I'm more about the, you know, feeling good about yourself and about your body and like, you know, being positive and just working out for fun, not for abs. And, you know, I'm not
working
all about
out
that.
For fun and not for abs.
Yeah,
I love
do you like that.
I love that a lot. I do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of people out there, they kind of have their fitness motivations and, yeah. the people they follow to inspire them.
Yeah.
And I have two, and they're both female.
Oh, really?
And
who are they?
One of them is my personal trainer.
Oh, okay.
And she has an amazing Instagram.
Oh,
and
amazing.
I love watching her journey because she's
now.
So... I'll send it to you later. Yeah. She's so dedicated to everything. And again, she does it because she enjoys doing it and she enjoys the way it makes her feel.
Yeah.
And not... I mean, she has a great body and she has great abs, but that's not the reason she's doing it.
Yeah.
And then you can see where this is going. And the second person is you.
No I, way!
Absolutely.
Love I'm not
following
expecting
your journey.
That. Oh, babe, thank you.
It's could absolutely
I,
true.
Could I actually love you even more? I didn't think that was possible. But yeah, oh, thank you so much. Oh, that's made me feel really emotional now.
Oh,
thank
baby
you.
Girl. It's true, though. And also what I kind of love about our friendship, I mean, I say this like it's something we've done a million times. I think it's something we've done once. But working out with you
is... Oh, that was so much fun.
Yeah, we went for... instead of going for drinks or going for lunch or going for dinner, which is kind of the things that people go to, we were like, hey, let's... we did a spin
out.
Class and then we had like some good food.
I know.
And I really love that. I think it's such a... What, you know, why? I go and drink beer with your mates all the time when you can go and work out, kill two birds with one stone, have fun with your friends, and also get in shape and get those good endorphins flowing.
Absolutely, that's what I think. And you know, it's funny because like the time before that we met or we did the photo shoot as well, it's like when we get together we're always doing something creative and something we love, but then at the same time we're hanging out catching up and you know.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the first time I reached out to you was when you made this beautiful... So Joy, is it you didn't mention that you're a YouTuber as well? She's a YouTuber as well. And she made this beautiful video, and I believe it was about Black Lives Matter.
It was
so... you got quite emotional in that video.
God,
and it was so touching. And I think somebody I think maybe Dodie retweeted it into my
Dodie
timeline
did.
Or something.
Yeah.
And I saw it and I was like, I was so touched, and I was like, I absolutely adore this girl. And I think that's when I first reached out to you.
Yeah, do you know what? I'd known you before that anyway. And
did
to
we
be
know
honest,
oh because we met at an event at YouTube.
We did, but I think I was following you anyway.
Yeah,
I think,
stalking me.
Yeah, I think
she's a bit weird.
You know how you know YouTubers and you're just like, you feel like you know them, but then you don't. You're just like a follower, just
a
fan.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
I think I was a fan anyway, to be fair. And then you got in touch with me after that video, and I was like, wait, Callum McSwiggan, like, literally just sent
you
me a DM.
You say it like I'm a big deal.
hello, you are. But yeah, I was like, oh my God, he sent me a DM. He's actually seen my video. I'm like, hell yes. but no, it was also like the content that what you actually sent to me was really touching, because when I made that video, I mean, to be fair, I'm not a big YouTuber. Like, YouTube is kind of like one of the few things that I do.
You have
do
your fingers in a lot of pies, is how I always look at you. You do so many things.
Which, I don't actually know if that's a good thing or
it
not,
is
to
a
be
good
honest.
Thing. It 100% is.
But, you know, people like you are, like, massive on YouTube, and I'm just like, 1,600. but anyway.
But it's about the content you produce, and you make such amazing, thoughtful, wonderful content. And that's what YouTube's about. It's not about subscribers. It's not about views. It's about the content you make. And, and you really do make great content.
Thank you. But when you sent me that message, I was like, it actually touched me, because I wasn't expecting anyone to see it, because my videos on YouTube don't actually get that many views, to be honest. But I made it when I was in Canada. So I was on holiday having a great time, and the funny thing was I just had an argument with my boyfriend as well about the issues and all the, because it was so upsetting, like being away from home and then seeing all these, like, all the news features, and you know what the news is like, they just make things, like, you know, worse than they actually are.
Absolutely.
But then I saw all the videos of, like, killings and everything, and I was just like, oh my God, I just felt the need to say something.
Yeah.
But then I tried to have a chat with my boyfriend, and in a way, like, because he's English and, you know, we're very different people, and he just didn't quite see where I was coming from, because it honestly hit me like so hard, like harder than I thought it would hit me. And then I tried to talk to my family about it as well, and they were on this side of the world, but they didn't see where I was coming from either. So I was just like, do you know what, I'm just gonna, you know, turn the camera on and just have a chat. I was not expecting to cry. I literally like held it together for like quite a while before I started welling up, and then I just couldn't hold it anymore. And that morning I'd had a like FaceTime chat with my niece, just because I wanted some happiness. Like, I just had to FaceTime her. And then that made me worse. I was just crying even more, and I was just like, the world needs to be like this simple and this innocent. And I, to be honest, I just felt like I didn't really have anyone to express that to, not to my boyfriend, not to my family. I was like, do you know what? Let's just turn on the camera. Let's have a chat. And I ended up like just crying a lot. And that's actually like my most viewed video today.
But I'm not surprised though, because I think the reason I connected and resonated with it so much was because it was so honest. It was so pure. Oh, you were putting your raw emotions out there. And I think with YouTube, sometimes that can be such a cathartic experience to really just share those raw feelings. I know that that's what I did when Orlando happened.
I saw that
horrible thing that happened, and I just had this emotion, and I didn't know what to do with it, and I felt like I had to do something. And I know me making a YouTube video about it isn't really gonna make any difference or change the world in any way, but I just felt that I couldn't just sit there and do nothing.
So
I did similar. I just turned on the camera, and before I knew it, I was in floods of tears, and it was just that emotional, that burst of emotion that just comes out of you. But I you know, I do think that people, that's why people go to YouTube. They want to see real people, real feelings, real emotions.
Absolutely. I think so too. And even though you kind of feel like you haven't done much by making a video, like even just, I think the feeling of someone else watching it who might actually feel like a similar type feeling to you, knowing that it's actually okay to talk about it, and it's okay to express yourself. And you know what, even if you can't do anything, it's okay to totally cry. Like, that's fine too. Like, you wouldn't be a human being if you had like no reaction, or if you wanted to be PC and like didn't say anything. And like, I got a lot of backlash for that video as well.
Did you really?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, so many people on like YouTube like just saying things, and my family didn't even like it. They were like, why are you making videos?
I don't
like
understand
that? Yeah, like people either, you know, truly agree with the things that are happening, or they just sort of think, no, don't disturb the water, don't disturb the base, you know, like just don't say anything. But I'm not that sort of a person. I'm so similar to you. Like, even though I feel a video is not going to make that much of a difference, but like just doing something or saying, or just expressing yourself. And
I actually heard something very similar to this recently. I was working with a wonderful lady called Orsali. She was Miss Miss Congo UK. And I was working with her on an HIV campaign. And in that campaign, she was talking honestly and openly about her experience. And she found the same thing, that her her family were kind of saying to her, why are you stirring the waters on this? Why are you trying to cause trouble? And she just wanted to speak up. She just wanted to make a difference. And she was just shut down and told not to do that. And I just think that's such a backwards way of thinking.
It is. I think my family are quite protective over me, and likewise, you know, as you would your friends, your family and stuff. And I think it's also because the fact that I'm kind of trying to put myself out there, I practically share my entire life when I'm at the gym or I'm eating, what, you know, like I share, and I wear my heart on my sleeve as well. I'm quite a sensitive person, even though I come across as like, nah, I got this, it's fine.
You and I both.
I'm actually quite a big teddy bear. Like, I just go home and cry about everything.
Same.
But like, I think from their perspective, and I don't know about, you know, your friend, but maybe similar, but they just kind of, they don't want people to hurt you, or people to get you, don't, they don't want you to give people a reason to, you know, say bad things about you.
Yeah.
And generally, I don't know, just put you down, because people on the internet would do that. But the way I see it on the internet, I just sort of feel, if I don't know you, your opinion kind of really doesn't matter to me. I'd only go home and cry if my mom said something horrible about me, or like, you know, somebody hurt my friend, or like, you know. But if somebody actually, you know how trolls, you know what trolls are like online, and they say all the, like, those things don't affect me at all.
Yeah.
I feel like my opinion is my opinion, your opinion's your opinion, and we'll respect that, and that's it. But so in that's kind of like my wall in a way.
That's
like,
a wonderful, you know, wonderful way of being. I actually brought up similar on a mental health panel recently.
Yeah.
And I actually quoted one of my best friends. His name's Riyad Khalaf.
Yeah. I'm a fan.
He has an amazing show called Queer Britain on BBC Three.
Oh, brilliant.
A little plug there. When I was going through similar, and when I had a lot of people sending me a lot of bad thoughts my way, saying horrible things about me online.
You've had a lot of that as well.
I'm used to the abuse. But he said something that really resonated with me, and that was that these people don't know me. Their opinions on me aren't actually their opinions on me. They're the opinions they have on the person that they think I am.
Yeah.
And that's not me. That's a completely separate person to me. And I find that's always the way online. If you're judging somebody online, you don't know that person. You don't know anything about that person. You don't know their intent, their motivation. Yeah. You know, so you really can't pass judgment. So if somebody else is passing judgment on you, you can just, you know, let it go. Let them think what they want to think, because it's not you at the end of the day. They don't know you.
And it's also a reflection of how they think about themselves as well. Like, if you were walking down the road and you saw somebody who was a slightly bigger person, I hate the word fat. Like, if you saw someone who was a slightly bigger person, you know, I'd personally just walk past. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it because I'm on the radio. I'm saying it because I have bigger people in my family. I mean, I grew up in Nigeria. Like, being big is like a thing. It's, you know, it's kind of seen as a sign of wealth and stuff. Like, this whole being skinny thing, I don't get it. But anyway, I'd just walk past it. But if I saw somebody, or if somebody else saw someone who is kind of, you know, really self-conscious of their weight or whatever, the first thing you think is like, oh, they're so big. Like, even without saying it, like, you'd actually notice their weight.
Sure.
And I just think that our insecurities actually tend to be the things we say, the things that we, when we see other people, the things we notice, that is actually a reflection of ourselves. And I know this for sure, because like 2-3 years ago, I was in like this massive depression. I'd gained a lot of weight, and I'd never really been a weight conscious person.
Yeah.
But then I moved here and everything changed. And I was really in a dark place. And like everywhere I went, I just noticed people being bigger. And even when they weren't that big, you know, I just sort of always noticed people's weight.
Yeah.
And I realized actually that's because of where I am as a person.
Yes, absolutely.
So when people make these comments online, like, honestly,
it's a reflection of themselves.
Yeah, that's where they are. And you'll never see these people making comments with their photos or with their own life stories or putting themselves out there.
Yeah.
The people who make these comments are, quite frankly, faceless profiles. You know, people who have like zero subscribers, zero content. They never put themselves out there, because if you actually looked into who they were, you'd find out that all the comments they're making about you, that's exactly what they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why let it bother you? And people have opinions anyway, right?
Yeah.
So who cares?
Joy, you are so wise. You are so, so wise. It is National Coming Out Day today.
Oh, is it?
So we are going to be looking at some absolutely lovely stories of some people who have come out from all around the world. And we're going to be having a little look at them and then talking through those. But first, we're going to have one of your song choices.
Gotta get up, you gotta get up and make a move, 'cause the world will never see you until you do. No, they don't really care what you're going through, so you gotta show 'em, baby. You gotta show 'em the real you. You gotta give 'em what you've got. No, don't let them see what you're not, 'cause you are strong. You are wise. You are worth beyond a thousand reasons why. And you can't be perfect, baby, 'cause nobody's perfect, darling. But no, 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 there's nobody in the world like you. Nobody knows how you feel, 'cause everybody's got their own damn problem. So everybody's trying to find their way, and day by day is a struggle. In this world, you know you have to hustle. Just know that you're not alone. You don't always have to be strong all by yourself. I said it's okay to ask for help. Now listen, people find you, but they don't find people who help redesign you. People will find you, but they don't define you. And you will find people who help redesign you. You are a work of art. Bet you didn't think you'd come this far. Now here you are. Baby, you are strong. You are wise. You are worth beyond a thousand reasons why. And you can be perfect, baby, 'cause nobody's perfect, darling. But no, 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 there's nobody in the world like you.
Dockrell is here.
When I was little, I actually wanted to be a fish tank interior designer.
That couldn't prove more that you have got the best imagination.
I had two fish, one called Tiptoe Trouser and one called
God, that would have really annoyed me if that was my fish's name.
His full name.
Well, actually, what's his name?
I was like, Mum! Don't! So that's why now I'm judging the Blue Peter Book Prize, because that never worked out. So, let's play the song.
Every Thursday,
Harriet Rose,
from 4 p.m, FUBAR Radio.
So we were listening to a lovely... I'd never heard that song before.
Mm.
It was a lovely, lovely YouTuber. Tell me about... I don't know her, so you tell me about her, Joy.
Oh, I wish she was listening to this right now. Her name's Tatiana.
Yeah.
And I think her last name is Manois. It's okay. M-A-N-A-O-I-S. And I found her because my friend posted a video that she'd made on Instagram.
Okay.
And it's a video to the song, and I'm such a sucker for anything romantic.
Yeah.
Anything love songs. I'm just like, I'm in there. I'm like, you've got me, you've got me. And I liked the sound of the song, but then I actually liked the video as well. It was just her personality. She was like really into it and she just seemed so genuine. So this is me, like, you know, super stalking her, going, who the F is this girl? And my friend like sent me a message within like 5 minutes, but by then I'd already found her because, you know. I went on her YouTube, I went on her little Twitter and everything. And she makes these amazing videos with her family, like just genuine videos to these songs. And this particular song is called Like You. And I love it because it's pretty much everything that I stand for in terms of, you know, she says things like, you don't have to deal with stuff by yourself, but you're stronger than you think. And like, but in a sort of non-patronizing way, you know, people are like, you're perfect as you are. She's like, guess what? You're not perfect because nobody can be perfect. And it's just really, you know, it's really nice, but it's also her. And then the most amazing thing was like, I tweeted her, I followed her and everything. Like, I'm just that silver person. I'm like, I'm a shameless fan. If someone's, you know, creating good content, I'm like, I'm following you everywhere. So I followed her and everything and I tweeted her and I was like, this is such a good song. And I was like, everyone needs to listen to it. And then she tweets me back. She's like, I legit love you. And I almost died.
Oh, bless. Bless your heart.
Wait, Tatiana loves me.
Yeah, she does. Oh, that's amazing. And I think it goes back to what you were saying before, is it's kind of about these people like really expressing themselves. And something that maybe a traditional music artist might not be able to do is fully have full control over the music, full control over the artistic direction of the video.
Mm.
And I think, and it really, really speaks to people, which I love. We've actually got a few YouTuber musicians coming up throughout the show. So, yeah, shout out to our YouTube pals.
I know, right?
Because we are a little family.
I know.
And we have to, you know, raise each other up.
Of course. This is the thing. You have to support each other. I don't get the competition because I'm like, everyone's actually different. And that's kind of the purpose of YouTube, that you all show your different personalities.
Yeah.
You all film differently. You all vlog differently. You all edit differently. You all have different kinds of content. I don't really get the competition. I'm like, why can't we just support each other? That's
absolutely.
Way cool.
Absolutely. And I think think the YouTube community is the only community where you can have like a car enthusiast, a beauty professional, a sex educator, yeah. and like a comedian, all yes. in the same room, the, I know, all right? as part of the same community.
I
and
know.
I love that diversity, and I love Absolutely. I love everything about it.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, YouTube. I think YouTube has changed a lot of things. I mean, even the fact that Instagram and you know Twitter can exist with things like 1 minute videos and stuff. I think YouTube has actually kind of got us there.
Yes.
You know, not you know, I'm not sponsored by YouTube or anything. Just hashtag just saying. I don't even like it that much, no joke.
Yeah, this show is not sponsored by YouTube. All right, we've got some lovely, lovely stories here from some people who have come out from around the world. So Woo-hoo. Because it is National Coming Out Day, which yes. is quite exciting. So the first one is from Megan, who is 18, and she is from Iceland.
Aww.
So she and her sister got into a really heated discussion about Donald Trump and his kind of ignorant comments towards the LGBT plus community. And that's when her sister just turned to her and said, Megan, is the reason you're getting so defensive about this because you're actually gay yourself. And when she said this, she was really taken aback and she didn't really know what to do. But yeah. just by her sister asking her that question, she then felt the confidence to actually turn around and say, yes, actually, I am. I do identify as a lesbian. And then that kind of spurred her on to kind of come out to the rest of her friends and family.
Aww.
So I really love that because I think sometimes it's National Coming Out Day today, right? And
yeah.
I think everybody thinks that's a celebration for LGBTQ plus people. And it is. But I think it's also a really, really important day for every other person out yeah. there. You may not be queer yourself, but someday somebody is probably going to come out to you in yeah. one way or another.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, days like today really kind of celebrate that message and show, you know, how important it is to support your friends and
yeah,
family.
So absolutely.
Shout out to her. Shout out to Megan and
oh,
shout out
Megan.
To her sister as well.
Oh,
all
bless.
The way from Iceland.
Oh, that's so lovely.
It is lovely.
That's really nice. Especially if you can come out to your family. I mean, I've never had that experience before,
yeah.
but I can only imagine because a few of my friends have come out to me and like, I'm not even a family member, but it's taken them like a lot. Like I had a friend. Oh, I still have a friend.
I had a friend.
We're not friends anymore seen as he came out doing it. He's like one of my best friends actually. But he's from the Caribbean.
Okay.
And it's like such a big thing, you know, when you're black and you're gay, like, you yeah. know, it's just like a no-no. And for some reason, like he felt like it took him a year to tell me. And I, you know, I just felt so sad when he did. I was happy for him, but then I really felt sad. I was like, just because, you know, I'm black, like I wouldn't have judged you. Like I wouldn't have,
yeah.
you know, but because I had no idea at all, like I obviously didn't do enough to give him, you know, a good enough reason to feel like it'd be safe for him to tell me. And, you know, that's nice that Megan's sister, you know, could just be like,
could do that
so
for her.
Hey, is it because you're gay? And just like, yeah, because it'll take a lot to tell someone close to you, you
yeah.
know. So
and also kind of not making a big deal out of it. I think
yeah.
sometimes, you know, it is a big deal. It's
yeah.
it, for me, it was one of the biggest moments of my life. And I think most LGBT plus people feel
yeah.
that way. But that, at the same time, that doesn't mean you have to make it this big, so, grandiose
yeah, of
thing.
Course.
Oh, Siri's getting involved. This doesn't concern you, Siri.
Not
this
now, Siri.
Not about
not now.
You. All right, I've got another one here. This is from Kaylee from the United States.
Ooh.
And I think this is a quote from her. So the first time I came out was to my best friend. We were sitting in my living room and she came out to me as bisexual. Later that night when we were in bed, I came out to her as bisexual as well.
Aww.
I remember not being nervous because I already felt accepted by her. I blurted it out while we were just talking and it was something along the lines of, I think I like girls too.
Aww.
She goes on to say that she found it so much easier to come out knowing that her friend had already done so.
Oh, that's really sweet.
It is really, really sweet.
That's
and
super sweet.
That comfort as well. I think if you know another LGBT plus person
yeah.
when you're coming out, it's so much easier.
Yeah.
I was when I was coming out, you know, I was in this whole world and I'd never met another queer person ever.
Really?
And then I went to a new school and like every other student was gay. And I was like, gays everywhere.
Yeah,
this is great.
This is cool.
But suddenly knowing all these gay people and they were so proud of who they were and they weren't
yeah.
ashamed at all.
Good.
Suddenly I was like, you know what? I'm not ashamed either.
As it should
I'm gay.
Be.
And that's when I came out. I think knowing other LGBT plus people is so important. Yeah. And I think that's why it can be so difficult sometimes for people living in smaller towns. And, you know, it's easy if you're in a big city like Manchester or London. But if you're in a little town, maybe you don't know harder. Other gay people, other queer people. Yeah. So it can be quite difficult.
Yeah, and it's just not knowing how people would react. Yeah. And I think it just goes back to creating a, you know, what we're saying about actually being able to create a community where, like, it's just okay. Because guess what? It's normal. It's not out of this world anymore. It's like everyone is entitled to be who they want to be. And, you know, it's a straight people who never have to come out and be like, I'm straight. So why should you? Just imagine that conversation. And mum and dad, I've got something to tell you, like, this whole time. You might have thought that I was gay, but honestly, I'm straight. Like, you know, but why should that burden be on other people? You know, like, we'll never have to do that as, you know, heterosexual people. So why is it expected that, you know? And we just need to, hopefully we'll get to a point in this world where we create a community where people don't have to explain themselves anymore.
Absolutely. I think that's the goal we all want, to get to a place where we don't have to come out, where everybody grows up and there is no assumption. It's like you're every single person is assumed straight, to be cisgender before, unless they say otherwise. Yeah. And it's ridiculous. And, you know, you see all these, like, you see little baby clothes and it's like a little boy's jumper and it will say, I don't know, some awful thing about breasts. And it's just like, for God's sake, like, gay people constantly get accused of, you know, forcing our sexuality onto children, which we do not do ever. And then you get a straight married couple and they're forcing their sexuality onto their child.
There's so many things in this world that's just not right. And I kind of feel like our generation's changing that slightly, to be honest with you, because even with things like YouTube, and we go back to YouTube, again, not sponsored by YouTube.
God joy, we get it. Jesus.
Other video making websites are available. But do you know what I mean, though? Like, you can turn on the camera and talk about it. Like, you know, anybody can turn on the camera and just talk about how they feel, or, you know, and I just think we're changing a lot of things in our generation. And I feel really positive about that. Like, I feel so positive about the way we approach gender, the way we approach sexuality, the way we approach even being female. That's like such a big thing right now, you know, like a lot of the things that people would have never talked about as a, you know, as a woman before, we're talking about it now, like we're challenging things now, and I just think we're changing a lot, and hopefully in, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 generations to come, people would be like, what, that happened?
Oh yeah,
like,
absolutely
happened?
Yeah, things that go on today in 50 years time, people will be looking back like, what on earth, as if that went on.
I know.
I think the internet has a big role to play in that. You know, it's the kind of the age of information and the age of communication, even, and the fact that we can, you know, like when I was like a 6-year-old kid, right, I couldn't like go, I guess the internet did exist, but it didn't exist in the capacity that exists now.
Gosh,
and there was no way that as a 6-year-old that I would have been able to communicate with somebody in America, in Australia, in China, in Russia.
Yeah.
No way. Unless I had like a pen pal, there was no way. And now people are coming into a world where they can literally communicate with anyone around the world instantly.
I know, it's ridiculous. It's
we can message somebody in Japan right now.
It's mind blowing.
That's mind blowing.
I know.
It is.
Even just like, I do my Facebook Live workouts. I'm not even plugging this, but like,
plug.
Yeah, I know. But like Saturday mornings, I'm just like, I literally could be working out with people in Nigeria right now and people in America right now.
Yeah.
Like everyone's working out live with me, and it's so cool. And I'm not showing my age, but I remember when I was in school and this one girl who came from a really rich family, like she was like, her sister was in America and she was like, I'm going to go home and message my sister. And I'm like, what do you mean by that? And she had a computer where she could like use MSN. And I was like, mate.
Oh, that's adorable.
I was like, seriously, like your sister gets it straight away. And I was like, you have to explain that concept to
me. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's so mind blowing. And I remember thinking, oh my God, her parents must be so rich.
Yeah.
You know, how can you do that? And now it's like, you know, Snapchat.
Absolutely.
Facebook Live.
It's not even a big deal. Yeah. And just to emphasize this point as well, the lovely Ryan Walter has tweeted us saying that he is streaming the show live and he is in Australia. It is, I guess, the morning over there. So that just kind of emphasizes this point that we're in this world that's so connected now. You and I are sat here in London chatting away on these microphones, and the lovely Ryan is sat at home in Australia eating his breakfast and for some reason listening to our nonsense.
Hi, Ryan.
All right, this next one is from Shari. She is 22 years old and she is from Germany. And this is another quote from her.
Okay.
It took me about a year into a relationship with a very loving boy when I realized I wasn't just bisexual. There was more to it, and I never really felt sexually attracted to him. When I started reaching it, I came to realize that I could call... When I started researching it, I came to realize that I could call myself demisexual. I really felt the urge to tell my boyfriend because it was taking a toll on our relationship. Because he's always been a very sexual person, he knew something was up. I knew I was only sleeping with him to make him happy. I explained how I need this deep connection in a romantic way with someone first, and even then, the sexual urge is very, very rare. I was really scared that he would leave me. I burst into tears and I felt like throwing up because he was so confused. Aww. So for anyone listening who doesn't know what demisexuality is...
I actually don't.
Well, here's your education, Joy.
Help me out.
So demisexuality is where you... It's on the asexual spectrum, basically. Okay. And it doesn't mean that you're asexual. It doesn't mean that you don't have a sex drive. What it means is that you need to really have a deep... deep loving connection with somebody before you can feel that sexual urge to share something like sex with them. Even so, like in the lovely Shari's case, it can be quite difficult and maybe they don't want it all the time. So it's kind of on the asexual spectrum.
Right, okay.
And, you know, it's one of those sexualities that isn't spoken about very often.
I've never heard it before.
It is very,
actually.
Very real. I think why I wanted to share this particular story is not just because it's about a demisexual and that's something that's not discussed very often.
Yeah.
Is that actually it's sad and it's heartbreaking, but this story here doesn't actually have a resolution. This story here actually has quite a sad ending that she shared this with her boyfriend and the boyfriend, you know, tried to understand but couldn't quite understand.
Right.
And it doesn't look like they reached a resolution in that. And I think the reason I wanted to share this one, I mean, it's lovely to celebrate and talk about how wonderful it is when people come out and they're accepted. But it's not always that easy for people.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of people out there, you know, it's National Coming Out Day and we can let off streamers and ribbons and all be, yay, we're all gay, we're all queer.
Yeah.
But for some people, it isn't that easy. Some people come out, some people may have an experience like this where you come out to a partner about the way you feel or the way you are. And they may not respond well, or sometimes you may come out to a family member or a friend and they may even disown you. And that is a reality. And I think it would be irresponsible to pretend that it isn't. So all I can say to that is make sure that you always have a support network there that will support you in the circumstance of that happening. And if you do know anyone who identifies differently, don't ever push them out. You know, they're just a person. They can't help how they feel.
Exactly.
But there is a positive to this, and that is that the lovely Shari felt comfortable enough sharing this.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm hoping that she herself has found kind of a resolution within herself, and I'm sure she has supportive friends, and I'm sure that she's in a much happier place now. She was reflecting on a past experience. So.
Well, bless her. And I suppose it is important to mention as well that, you know, even if you do know that it's not going to end happily, you should probably still do it anyway, like, because you can't live a lie. Like, you can't hide who you are for the rest of your life and, you know, be unhappy because you don't, you want people to accept you because the you that they think you are isn't who you really are. So,
absolutely.
You know, the people who would accept you for who you are will.
Yes.
You know, and you should just...
You don't want friends who would only accept you if you fit their narrative
exactly.
and fit into their box
exactly.
of who you should be. But
exactly.
at the same time, I do think we just have to say that obviously people need to make sure that they're safe.
Yes, of course.
So always make sure that you're safe before you come out. But otherwise, I completely agree with what Joy is saying, is that, you know, it's so much more liberating and freeing to live your truth. And if that means you lose a few friends in the process,
that's fine, right?
Even, and I know it's horrible, it's absolutely horrendous, but even if you lose a family member in that process, then you're honestly, truly better off without them.
I agree. I do have a friend, without going into detail, who's going through this at the moment.
Yeah.
It's been going on for probably like 7+ years.
Wow.
And his family have accepted him, then they've disowned him, then they've accepted him, you know, and now they're like, we don't want anything to do with you. And they leave vile messages on Facebook. They've made it public. And you know what? He just finds a lot of happiness in that he's out. I don't know that feeling, but I see him and he talks about it. And he just sounds so liberated. It's like this weight has been lifted off his shoulder that, you know, if his family don't accept him, then he's just like, do you know what? That's sad, but actually I'm happy in myself.
Yes.
Like, I'm actually a happier person now, as opposed to being that person who's just hiding my entire life to please my family and my friends. And life is too short. You know, life is just too short, you know, to live someone else's narrative, as you say. Like, just be you. Like, live your life. And until we all start doing that, not just in terms of sexuality, but in other ways as well.
Yes.
Like, until we all start doing that, the world will, you know, continue to be this place where we're like, oh, should I not? It's like, no.
And that is such a wonderful takeaway message. And I think even like me right now, I'm listening to your words and I'm thinking, actually, I need to do that a little bit more. I think all of us sometimes, I know, you're like, how can you possibly be more you, Callum? You're exhaustingly yourself.
Just help me out.
But sometimes I think, you know, like I really want to impress certain people. Maybe I have a crush on a boy and I try to impress them and I find myself changing small things.
Yeah.
And actually, no, like... be yourself.
Be you.
And the right people will come to you.
Of course.
They really will. All right, let's have one more. And this one, let's end it on a lovely positive for this lovely, lovely day. Okay, Chloe, 16, from France. Chloe came out as a lesbian to her mum 2 years ago. She was extremely anxious and shaky and unexpectedly blurted out that she likes girls one day at home. Her mum was extremely accepting and told her that she always knew. She says that her friends are now 100% okay with her sexuality and that a lot of them now identify as LGBT plus themselves.
Aww.
She says that it was hard at the beginning with some of her family, but now it's all fine. And then there's this lovely little quote at the end that says, this is from her, "I know it's scary, I know it's hard, but you are what you are and you shouldn't be ashamed of that, ever."
Yes.
Wise, Chloe. Yeah. 16 years old.
I know, so
wise. Beyond her years is Chloe.
So wise. Love it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a lovely little segment.
Yeah, thank I like
you for,
that.
Thank you for sharing and celebrating National Coming Out Day with me, Joy.
Oh, it's, thank you for letting me
wouldn't do it with
share.
Anyone else. All right. Let's have a little bit of, oh, this is absolutely fitting.
Oh, who is it?
This is Heaven
who
by
is
Troye
it?
Sivan.
Oh.
Truth runs wild like a tear down a cheek. Trying to save face and daddy heartbreak, lying to my teeth. This voice inside has been eating at me. Trying to replace the love that I fake with what we both need. Truth runs wild like kids on concrete. Trying to sedate my mind in its cage and know what I see. A weak white eye, yeah, I'm screaming at me. Trying to keep faith and picture his face staring up at me. We'll be right back.
losing a piece of me. How do I get to heaven without changing a part of me? How do I get to heaven? Truth runs wild like a tear down a cheek.
I love Troye Sivan.
I know, I love him too.
Absolutely His obsessed voice. With that boy.
Oh, such
a sweet boy and such lovely, lovely vocals.
Yeah,
and I know this is really stupid, but I didn't actually understand what that song was about.
Okay.
And it's actually about kind of reconciling your faith with your sexuality.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, like if I'm losing a piece of me, how will I get to heaven? And it's about coming out while knowing that, you know, some people around the world say that it's not okay to be gay if you're also religious. And it's about reconciling those two things and saying, I'm gay and this is who I am.
Yeah.
But I still want to believe in my faith and I still want to go to heaven. So how do I put this together? He's not, but I think it's a beautiful, beautiful concept.
Absolutely.
And it's not something really... I've really heard very many people talk about, certainly not in the music industry. Yeah. And when somebody explained that to me, I was like, I feel like an idiot for not knowing that. But also, like, how unbelievably beautiful. And the music video for that song is...
Oh, I have to see it.
Oh, my God, it's incredible.
I have to see it now.
It's Troye and a beautiful boy, like, all being, like, beautiful together. But then also it's cut with, like, this video footage from, like, the first Freedom Day parade.
Oh,
and it's
really?
All about kind of the LGBT history LGBT movement, and it's wonderful.
Oh,
it's absolutely wonderful.
Now.
I feel like we're going to need to share some things later with each other. We're getting a lot out of this show.
I know,
I like
right?
It.
The thing about me and music videos as well is, like, I could know songs for ages and then just never, like, see the video.
Yes.
And I don't know what it is. Like, even when I have an opportunity to see the video, I try not to, because I kind of don't want to spoil that magic that I hear through my ears. Like,
yes.
I'm such a shut your eyes and listen to music type person.
Mm.
And it's funny because on the weekend I went to do a maternity photo shoot and this song came on that I love so much.
Wait, hang on. Wait, what?
No, I'm not preggers.
Okay.
I was photographer.
Like, oh, right. That makes sense. Definitely
like,
thought you had
babe,
a baby
you're
then.
You're preggers?
Like, kept that one quiet.
Yeah, no. No.
So no baby.
No baby. Not yet. I need a ring first, Callum.
Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah,
this is
sure.
the bit where if I did play this back to my boyfriend, this is the bit that he needs to hear. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd start to panic at this bit. The sweat would start coming.
I know, right? But no, so the song came on by... What's his face that dated Khloe Kardashian?
Oh, as if
French.
I know.
French.
As if I know.
French, but you probably...
I don't know.
You're on your level too, trying to do what lovers... It's a good song.
I don't know. Sure.
Oh, such a good song. But I've been listening to the song for ages and I love it. And I'd never seen the video.
And that,
it's like my thing with music videos. But I have to watch this one though.
So you
it.
Still haven't seen that one?
No.
Well, you need to get on it, Joy.
I know.
Jesus.
I know.
All right, we're going to be going through the latest in LGBT plus news.
Woo!
Woo! Celebration. All right, so the first one, and I saw this earlier, and this kind of made me a little bit mad, a little bit angry.
Oh.
So this is Fox News host Sean Hannity called HIV and AIDS a gay disease and publicly lashed out at what he refers to as gay brainwashing. He says... Anyone listening to this show that believes homosexuality is just a normal lifestyle has been brainwashed. These are disgusting people. He also hosted an anti-gay activist as a guest and agreed with their claims that AIDS was being spread by gay men consuming each other's feces.
Okay, wait. He's a Fox News
he's
host.
A Fox
and he
News
said
anchor.
This on Fox News.
He didn't say this on Fox News. He said this elsewhere. But he still said it.
What?
It feels like it's something straight out of the 80s. Like
what
this
the?
Kind of, this whole stigma around HIV and AIDS being a gay disease is something
me?
We put to bed decades ago.
Wait, how can people like this still exist? Like,
well,
first of all, it's ignorant.
Yes.
Second of all, what gives him the right to even express such a dirty opinion. Like, just no.
Yeah, it's horrific, and it's so misinformed as well. But the good, and I don't mean to say that this is good news, but honestly, in this situation, I do think it's good news. The man got fired.
Oh, good.
So,
I hope that's the first of many.
Karma, the first of many. Yeah. And he is a Donald Trump supporter.
Of course.
That may shock you.
Yeah. Who else?
So, yeah.
I can't believe that. Like, honestly, I just think, you know, as well as kind of using technology to, you know, better, as we've like talked about people expressing themselves and, you know, on YouTube and blah blah, I also think there's a really dark side to you know being able to just express an opinion so quickly, you know.
Yes.
Someone like Trump, for example, I'm not a political person, I choose not to be, because I just feel like why
yes.
bother.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, but I just think people like him should not even be allowed a Twitter account.
Yeah.
For starters, I mean.
Yeah.
he's so embarrassing as well. Like, if that was my dad, I would probably just sink into like the deepest hole and just never come out, because he's so embarrassing.
Yeah,
the stuff
he
says is so shallow. He doesn't even have like very good command of the English language. And then you somehow happen to be the president of the United States.
Which I still can't believe. Year in almost.
Yeah. And then all of this hatred boils out of you as if you're, you know, and I'm just like, I don't get it. People like that should not have a Twitter account, or I know freedom of speech is for everybody, but keep your opinions to yourself.
I agree. And I think this is a really controversial debate, actually. And it's about kind of freedom of speech and hate speech. And there's a lot of debate going back and forth right now, which is whether hate speech should be allowed and whether that should be a legal thing that people are allowed to do. And the problem is that obviously, if you say to people you can't have hate speech, then that is an infringement on their freedom of speech rights. Mm. There are countries around the world where hate speech is a crime, and I believe the UK is one of them, I think.
Well, I think online as well, they've made this rule, right? So the whole thing about trolling and stuff.
Yeah.
Why hasn't someone arrested Trump yet? Like, I don't get it. Like, like, just because you're the president of the United States
doesn't
mean
you're immune.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you're still under the law and stuff. But I don't understand why, you know, the law exists for some people and it doesn't for others. And I just think...
Power structures, Joy.
But come on,
I know.
Like... You say one thing and it's just got so much power, because there are people who genuinely feel like that, or there are people who are just not quite stable in, you know, in that perspective. And you say something and they think, I'm just going to go and carry it out. Or
yeah.
Like, and you just sort of think all you're doing is spreading hate.
You're
like
inciting
something like
hatred.
This.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, that's just...
And we've seen it
right.
already. We've seen some of the horrendous things happening in America.
God, yeah.
And this has all come... after and during Trump's presidency.
Yeah.
So you can see it is inciting hatred, and it is encouraging this negative mob mentality, which isn't a good thing at all.
No, not at all. And certainly not this, whoever this guy is.
Well, this guy. And also, I just want to put it out there that, you know, he said that, going back to this original guy, and he's saying that HIV and AIDS is being spread by gay men consuming each other's feces. Not only is that offensive, but it's also...
It's actually wrong.
So inaccurate.
Yeah, it's
like,
not. It's not the way
if
that
I went out and consumed the feces of every gay man in London, there is a 0% chance that I would get HIV. You cannot catch HIV that way.
I mean,
so,
that's something you could even Google. Like, he's obviously that dumb.
He's
an
idiot.
You could even Google it.
He's deliberately being an idiot.
Oh,
all right, on to something more positive, Joy.
Yes.
Okay, so over 10 million Australians have voted in the referendum for marriage equality.
Woo.
So I don't know if you know, right now there is a referendum going on, and whether or not it should be happening is debatable.
Yeah.
You know, people should just be granted rights.
Yes.
You shouldn't have to vote for them.
Yes.
But it's going on. Over 10 million Australians have voted, and according to the polls, there is a prediction that the yes vote will win.
Oh, brilliant.
It's a prediction.
Yeah,
it's not, you know, we're not there yet. You know, voting is opened until November 7th.
Right.
There's like, I don't know how many people there are in Australia, like 25 million or something. But, you know, over 10 million have voted, and it's looking very positive for the yes vote.
Good.
So the Australian referendum is something that has come up every single week on this show. And I think this is the first week where we've had some really positive news about it.
Oh, that's so good. I hope common sense wins, because it's just common sense.
Yeah, and we saw this happen in Ireland, and, you know, they won over there. So I'm really hoping that in Australia, you know, they produced Kylie Minogue. They should be able to get this right. And I really, really hope
I wonder
that
if
they
she's
do.
Voted.
Oh, of course she has. She's been very vocal on Twitter.
Has she?
Very vocal indeed.
Good for her.
Yeah, good. Kylie adores the gays, and the gays adore her.
Brilliant.
I'm obsessed with that woman. Love her. And a little positive side note as well. Regardless of whether or not the yes vote wins, there is going to be a new lesbian wedding magazine called Dancing with Her coming out in Australia just like a couple of weeks before the results are announced, which I think is the 15th of November.
So
and I love that they're still going to go ahead, even if this doesn't go through.
Yeah.
They're still 100% going to go ahead with this.
Yeah. Wait, why is it just lesbians though?
Well, one for gay men would be nice. It would be nice.
Just saying.
Somebody needs to step up and create one for gays as well, because that would be cute as hell.
Imagine though.
Oh, I would love that on my coffee table. How nice would that be? But you know, we'll let the lesbians have this one. All right. Well, speaking about marriage.
Yeah.
And
I do.
I was going to propose. So this is a bizarre loophole that has happened, and it's a negative thing. And basically, there's this gay couple who got married in England, and one of them is French.
Okay.
And they decided that they want to move to France. And in France, same-sex marriage, also legal. Two men can also get married in France.
Yeah.
They can get married here.
Yeah.
But if they move over there, their marriage will no longer be recognised. And in order for them to get it recognised, they will need to get a divorce. And by getting a divorce, they have a son who they've adopted. It will mean that they no longer have the rights to their son. So they're in this really weird predicament where they can't move to another country because their marriage will no longer be recognised. And this is because there are different, even though we're achieving same-sex marriage around the world, there are all these different kind of, I don't know if loophole is the right word, but there are all these different kind of little bits of legal jargon that are making it not quite equal. Because that would never happen to a heterosexual couple who got married in England and wanted to move over to France. Their marriage would still be recognised. But because they had a civil union, which was then converted into a marriage when it became legal in this country, it doesn't count in France.
Could they get married here again? I mean,
But because they already have a marriage that is valid and they are already married in this country, they can't get married here or in France until they get divorced. And if they get divorced, it puts their adoption over their child in jeopardy.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
So it's the most, they don't have a way out of this situation. And it's there are many, many things like that this within the law, particularly when it comes to LGBT plus rights, where things aren't quite as equal as you would think, especially when it comes to international law.
Oh, that's ridiculous, though. But, I mean, if they did get married here now, so just a fresh new couple.
Yeah.
If they got married here now and they wanted to move to France, would that count as okay? Would that still be...
Yes. Okay. It's just convert it.
Yeah, okay.
It's a whole complicated issue.
Gosh.
But I just wanted to shed a little light on that because it is a thing.
Can they take it to some sort of court, international court or something like that? Or
I assume that maybe that's the thing that exists.
That's I don't just
know.
Crazy.
But
though.
I think, you know, that now it's happened, now that there's been an instance of it, they will find ways to fix this. So, and I really hope it does get fixed for this couple because, you know, they, you know, in theory, they don't need to be married, but, you know, they shouldn't have to go through that.
Of course.
Their marriage should be valid wherever they go.
Absolutely. And especially if you've got a child involved.
You
don't want to be in a position where you could lose your child. That's just, you know, ridiculous.
Yeah.
You certainly don't want to get married again.
Yeah.
Because you're already married. You're already a family. You're a unit.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to break that unit up. Not that it means anything in reality, but then you don't want to go through the process of breaking that unit up.
Absolutely
just to
not.
Reunite it again. I mean, that's just emotionally draining.
Exactly.
Gosh.
So, you know, things need to change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things need to change.
It's amazing, actually, how, like, even just looking back a decade and, you know, just the things have changed in the last sort of 15 years, 20 years, even just things like, you know, people being able to legally be with each other if they're from a different race. And, like, it was only, I got told, and I don't know for sure, but I think I looked it up, and it was, like, 1986 or something that it became legal in South Africa or something, like, you know, and you just sort of think...
It's insane. That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Wasn't that long ago.
I was almost born then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, things have changed a lot, and I'm really hoping that things just continue to change, because again, going back to what I said before, our generation, we're just kind of like, nah, we're not keeping quiet, we're going to keep changing things. And I like that drive that we have, and that kind of, you know, because back in the day you couldn't do that, but now with the power of the internet you can actually get people together, you can kind of, you know, get a movement, and people hear about stuff, you know, very quickly. So the government can't just be like, oh, it's not happening. They can't be in denial about things. Like, people tweet about it and the whole world, you know, knows about it, and things go viral easily, and people can really fight their battles now, you know, with like hundreds of thousands of other people behind them just by one tweet. So I don't know if they can, I don't know, appeal or something like that. But if they did, just imagine the number of people that would get behind them.
That would support, like, them.
Yeah, and absolutely.
You can already see that happening online, you know, when these stories and things come out, that people do rally around it. Yeah. And I think that pressure of having so many people behind a cause, behind a movement, really does make a difference.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the pressure's on and they have to do something about it.
Definitely. I'll definitely be behind them.
So will I. All right, let's have a little bit of Sam Smith.
Aww.
Much to give, but I don't care for gold. What use is money when you need someone to hold? Don't have direction, I'm just rolling down this road, waiting for you to bring me in from out the cold. You'll never know the endless night, the rhyming of the rain, or how it feels to fall behind, and what you call his name. Pick up and leave everything. Don't you see what I can bring? Can't keep this beating heart at bay. Set my bitmates out of free. Leave your lover, leave him for me. Leave your lover, leave him for me. Our dreams to growing old. Oh, I'm in love with you, and you will never know. But if I can't have you, I'll walk this life alone. Spur you the rising storm and let the rivers flow. You'll never know the endless night, the rhyming of the rain, or how it feels to fall behind, and what you call his name. Pick up and leave everything. Don't you see what I can bring? Can keep this beating heart at bay. Set my midnight sorrow free. I will give you all of me. Just leave.
So beautiful.
Hey, gorgeous.
So I was talking about Sam Smith's voice.
I'm just going to keep saying I
not
do.
You. Not marrying you. Though we would have a beautiful child.
Oh, my God, imagine.
It would be, if you ever... Why would you need a sperm donor?
I know, right?
That doesn't make sense.
No.
But maybe you could have my baby. You know, like when you like... put it in a turkey baster and like
Ian
squirt
doesn't
it.
Need to know. Like, he will never
he's not listening.
Know.
He's not listening.
We'll plan this later.
Yeah, just take like a 9-month long vacation and he will not have to know. Just putting it out there.
Babe, it's baby's like half white, half black. It's fine. Just imagine.
Just pretend. It's fine.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to play one of my favorite games now.
Okay.
And this is Queers Throughout the Years. And in this game, I have a list of facts here. But
lovely.
Some of them are not facts.
Right.
Some of them are fibs.
Okay.
I've made some of these up. And you have to decipher which ones of these are true and which ones of these are false.
Okay.
Do you understand the game, Joy?
I understand.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Your first one is, in the 18th century, lesbian sex was lovingly referred to as the game of fists.
Come on.
Now, do we think that's true? Or do
I was not expecting that.
Look, but you don't know what they got up to in the 18th century. It was a wild time.
Game of fists?
Game of fists.
I'm going to go false on that one.
You think that's false?
I think you've made it up because of Game of Thrones.
You are correct, but it was actually known as the Game of Flats.
Really? What
so it's not complete made up. It was called the Game of Flats, which was what card games were called too. They were called Game of Flats because the cards are flat.
Okay.
And I guess because without a penis,
of
a lady's...
Yeah.
...is quite flat.
Yeah. That's true, actually.
So
clever.
It was indeed lovingly referred to as the Game of Flats.
Well, I wouldn't mind playing the Game of Flats. Just putting it out there.
It's a fun game. Not for me, but I've heard rave reviews.
I was going to say, it wouldn't work for you, love, but you know.
Wouldn't work for me. All right, you got one right.
Okay.
Your next one is, the word for homosexuality is actually older than the word for heterosexuality.
Mm. Do you know what? I'm going to go true.
Okay.
Not because I'm sure of myself. But yeah, I'll go true for a few reasons.
Tell me your reasons.
So because I think what, you know, we're talking about how like some things are just meant to be and just be normal.
Sure.
But then because we've kind of gone through life like naming stuff. And
sure.
We tend to give names to things that we want to describe, but we kind of... you know, don't know how to, so we give it a name or give it a context or give it a thing when it's not meant to be a thing.
Mm.
And I'm explaining this and I think I might be totally wrong, but I would say yes.
Because you feel like there was a need for the word homosexual before there was a need for the word heterosexual.
Yeah, and also because that concept in itself, you know, the word needing a word for it is so backwards.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So that's kind of why I'd say yes.
So is that your final answer, Joy?
It is, but I'm sure I'm so wrong.
You're correct. I'm actually, like, you know what? Usually when I have guests on here, I really want them to fail. But seeing the sheer joy... In you getting the right answers, it's making me really root for you here.
I'm like so proud of myself.
You are. Two out of two so far.
Yay.
If you get them all right.
Oh my God, what do I get?
I will give you that baby you want.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
I'm not. I'm 100%
serious.
And you
promise you wouldn't tell Ian though?
I promise
we'll
keep
it
secret. It'll
be our secret forever.
Yeah, okay. Deal. All right. In the early 1900s, doctors grew increasingly worried of women riding bicycles. And they even feared an epidemic where bicycles would turn the entire female population gay.
I'm going to say yes. Shall I tell you why?
Yeah, tell me why.
Because if I try and think about how you would have set these questions up, you wouldn't set them up so it's like one false, one true, one false, one true.
Oh, you can't use logic.
Also, doctors are full of shit.
Idiots. Every last... I'm sorry,
honestly,
if any doctors
right?
are listening.
I love them because I have to work with them. And they're so knowledgeable. But honestly, the things they've come up with in the past, you're like, really?
Bonkers.
Honestly,
absolutely bonkers.
And a lot of my best friends are like anaesthetists, surgeons, doctors. Yeah. And they'll tell you the same thing. So I'm going to go true on that one.
Well, Joy, you are indeed... Correct. They were very, very concerned that bicycles were turning all the women into lesbians.
God. Just imagine the things that we believe now.
Yeah.
In like 50 years' time, just imagine. Like, think of something that's like so normal right now. Just think of anything.
What? Like that bananas
are yellow?
Like something
medical.
Oh,
like
medical.
Something that the doctors tell us all the time, like right now.
Oh, like Lemsip actually helps with a cold.
Yeah, just imagine if like in 50 years time we found out that Lemsip causes cancer.
Oh my god. Jesus. Jesus Christ, get that Lemsip away from me. I know what you mean though. Like at the end of the day, doctors are very knowledgeable, and if you're looking for medical advice, there is nobody more knowledgeable than a doctor. They have all the information available to them.
Physios.
But
just saying.
But that information that's available to them is limited to a certain degree,
yeah.
And they are using their best guess based on facts and science and all that. But they don't always know the answer.
Yeah, no, it's so true.
And,
so
you know, I've been to the doctor before and they've been like, oh, I think it might be this, treat it with this. And then later, oh, no, it wasn't that. It was actually this. You know,
yeah.
they're doing the best with the information they have available.
Yeah.
But the human body is so complicated.
Mm.
And who knew, like getting the bark off a tree and like grinding it down into a powder would be a painkiller. That's what aspirin is.
Is it?
Yeah, it's tree bark.
Do you know, I was legit going to be like, where did you hear that?
It's tree bark.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I really didn't know
absolutely
that.
Absolutely mental.
Oh my God, I'm a physio. I should know this.
Somebody's going to tweet me and be like, yeah. It's not tree bark. You're
Wait,
talking absolute
If there are any doctors
nonsense.
Listening, like, I should, or pharmacists. Pharmacists would know.
There are no doctors or pharmacists listening. They've got better things to do, Joy, than listen to this. Jesus. Right, you're 3 for 3.
Yes.
So your next one is... The British secret intelligence tried to turn Hitler into a woman by sneaking female hormones into his parsnips. They chose to do this instead of poison because Hitler had had every meal tasted, and female hormones were very flavourless, and their effect was delayed.
Do you know what? I'm going to say true to that one.
Are you?
Because I think
true.
I think it would have had to have been. Very effortful for you to come up with that.
You should hear some of the things I've come up with in the past, Joy. I have a very active imagination.
I also think as well that I should say false to this because we've already had one true, one false, and then what? We had a false, a true. So I kind of feel like I should go false for this one, but I'm going to say true. What did I say? Wait, I think it's... What did I say the first time?
False. True. No, you said it was true the first time.
Okay, you're
I'm deliberately fucking with you now.
Right, okay, so you're saying that they wanted to make Hitler a woman. I'd say that's true.
That is not the question.
What did you say?
That was not the full question.
Oh, what was it?
The British secret intelligence tried to turn Hitler into a woman by sneaking female hormones into his parsnips.
Did they even have parsnips at that? Yeah, they did, because it's a root vegetable. I would say yes. I'll say that's true.
Yeah, you're going to say that's true?
Yeah.
You are wrong. It is false.
No
I'm
way.
So sorry. I really wanted to get
that. How did you come up with that?
Okay, so I really tricked you here.
What did you do?
Because it is true. It was just with carrots instead of parsnips.
Oh.
So I really fucked with you there.
See, the whole story, like the whole concept of that, I just think... would be so effortful for someone to come up with if it was totally false,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, but I didn't think that it could have been another vegetable.
Yeah, I really tricked you there. Oh. But how mental that, like, our secret intelligence were like, you know what? We're going to get Hitler's carrots, of all things, and we're going to put estrogen in them in the hope of turning him into a woman. Also not how medicine works. You know?
But do you know what? Just imagine if that happened, though.
If Hitler became
worked.
A woman.
Like, if he just, like, wake up one day and his voice... or, like, he started growing boobs or
their
something.
Their reason for doing it was because they believed if they made him more feminine that he would be less aggressive and make less aggressive decisions in war, essentially. And, I mean, I can appreciate the logic there, but it's also mental. It's, like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely
That's
ridiculous.
Crazy. Gosh, so that didn't work, obviously.
Obviously didn't work. All right, well, you're 3 out of 4.
Oh, man.
So let's see how you do with this one. In the 1930s, a Disney comic strip showed Mickey Mouse as a violent homophobic thug. In the comic strip, he beats up an effeminate cat and calls him a filthy cream puff inhaler.
again, another effortful one if it was false. But now that I've failed this carrot / parsnip thing, I'm going to say true.
You think this is true?
I could be totally wrong, but yeah. I'm going to go true.
Yeah, you are? Okay, well, you're absolutely correct.
Yes.
I don't even understand it. But apparently, like, Disney were hella problem. We know that they were racist. They were anti-Semitic.
Oh, my God. And are they still not? But anyway, never
mind. We could go there.
Never mind.
So it doesn't actually surprise me that once upon a time that they were homophobic.
Yeah.
But, you know, Disney's moved on a long way. And Disney is a wonderful thing now. You know, we're even beginning to look at LGBT plus characters. We had a gay couple in Frozen.
I heard
briefly. For a matter of seconds, but
I haven't
they're still
actually
there.
Seen it.
We had a gay couple in Beauty and the Beast as well. Again, really? Briefly, okay. But it was there. Yeah. I've not seen it, but dancing at the end, apparently there's a brief gay moment or something.
Okay.
So it's there and it's progress.
Okay.
And in a couple of weeks I'm going to Disneyland to celebrate Magical Pride, which is like gay pride at Disneyland.
I'm so jealous of your lifestyle. Like, I legit want to be you so bad.
Come back. We'll hang out more.
Right? Just put me in your suitcase. Wait, so I'm with Callum. Don't worry.
I just really hope Mickey Mouse doesn't assault me when I arrive. That's my concern.
Oh, dear.
No, but Disney have become a wonderfully inclusive.
And people move on with time as well. It's also what's socially acceptable. You know, like, you could be the biggest, I don't know, company in the world that makes movies, and you might, even the person who sits right at the top of that, might not necessarily be somebody who is anti- whatever, anti-LGBT, anti-black, anti-whatever. But then they have to produce what they think people want to see. So, like, you have to sort of adapt whatever you're producing to what's in at the moment, which is sad in a way, you know, but it's just the way the world works. So no offense to them, but, you know, they could try a bit harder.
Try a bit harder. That's for everyone, basically. Yeah. Every brand out there, I think, could try a little bit harder,
totally.
To be honest.
Totally.
All right, so you're 4 out of 5.
Yes.
You're doing really well. You've got one last one.
Oh, good. So it means that I'm going to pass regardless. Is there like a pass?
You have to get my baby, you have to get all of them right.
Oh, damn. I failed already.
You forfeited the baby.
I can't even have your babies
over carrots and
anymore.
Parsnips.
I know, right?
Jesus Christ, Joy.
Damn.
All right, your last one is, all dolphins are gay. They spend their entire lives having same-sex intercourse and only ever have heterosexual intercourse to reproduce. There are even viral videos online showing the extreme displeasure the dolphins endure while engaging in heterosexual behaviours.
I'm going to say true. Do you know why? Because I want it to be true. I want it to be true.
I also want it to be true.
Yeah.
Is that your final answer? True.
I'm going to say yes, actually.
So sorry, Joy. It's absolute bullshit.
I really wanted that to be true so bad.
It's not, but I do have two very fun dolphin facts for you.
Okay.
And you may already know these, and I think I may have even said these on the radio before because I love these facts so much. So dolphins are the only other animal besides humans to do two things. One of those things is that they take recreational drugs.
What the?
And the second thing is that they make sex toys.
Okay, wait.
Yeah, I know. It sounds confusing.
How do they do this?
So recreational drugs, they basically terrorize pufferfish. And they terrorize them to the point that the pufferfish puff up and they release all their toxins and their poisons. And then the dolphins inhale it and they get high. And there are viral videos of this, of them literally passing around the pufferfish.
Wait, so how do we know that they actually get high, though?
Because you watch them, and they're there, like, terrorizing it, and then breathing it in, and then they're just, like, swimming around like this.
No.
Yeah. Dolphins get high, deliberately.
And they don't kill the fish, though, because they're obviously too high to realize that food's, like, in front of them.
Yeah. So that's the thing.
They legit do that.
They legit
do
that.
Can I just say, that is freaking clever.
Yeah. Shout out to dolphins. Yeah. They are smart, smart creatures.
That is clever.
Yeah.
They're very intelligent, aren't they?
Yeah. But apparently, we've always said that they're the most intelligent except for humans. But apparently, that's not true. Apparently, it's pigs.
Oh.
Who? I don't know.
How so?
I have a lot of information that's probably not real.
Oh, gosh. But
and the sex toys.
Yeah, how do they do that?
So they rip the heads off fish and then use them as kind of makeshift fleshlights.
God, that's actually quite disturbing.
It's the most disturbing thing I've heard. Yeah. Oh, we've got 10 of the most intelligent animals on Earth. And at the top, it's chimpanzees, followed by bottlenose dolphins. So I was wrong in giving you false information again.
Wow.
Pigs aren't even on the list.
They're not. They didn't make it.
Pigs are ninth.
Oh,
pigs are ninth.
Nine.
Okay.
Okay.
So again, don't trust anything you listen here on this radio show. It's not true.
Do you ever watch, have you seen, like, you know, King Kong and what's that other one? Caesar. Do you know the one?
Oh, Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, that's like Caesar. But like, do you ever think that at some point that would actually be us? You know, when chimps and, like, you know, apes, like, take over, and then we would be the ones who were like, oh my god, we're so sorry, we used to, like, be at the top, and, like, we're no longer.
Do you really think chimpanzees are going to take over the world?
Babe, did you see the list? They're like number one on the freaking list. Did you not see that? They're intelligent.
So you think they're going to take over?
Just saying, we need to be careful. We need to up our game.
We need to prepare for the chimpanzee invasion.
You laugh now. Caesar might be coming for us, dude.
I really, really hope not. Right, that's enough of that nonsense. Time for a little bit of Shelter by Charlotte Carpenter. Shelter by the wonderful Charlotte Carpenter. She is an amazing queer artist, and I actually went to university with her.
Did you?
Yeah.
She
lived in halls. Aww. With my best friend Laura, who has been on this show. She was the first guest we had on this show.
Aww.
And it's just, she's doing amazing, amazing things. I haven't seen her in years, but she creates incredible music.
Oh,
and
brilliant.
she's just a great ambassador and just a great all-round person. So,
oh, that's so nice. You know,
shout out to Charlotte there.
Oh, that's lovely.
All right, Joy, I've been looking forward to this.
Oh god,
because you're a good girl.
I think so.
You are. You're an open and honest girl, but you're a very well behaved girl.
Do you know what? I think generally I am, actually. I take pride in that.
Yeah. Well, we are going to play a little game called Porn or Not Porn.
Mm-hmm.
And in this game, I am going to be playing you some sound bites.
Okay.
And some of these sound bites are from pornographic films.
Okay.
And some of them are from not pornographic films.
Okay.
So as you do health and fitness,
yeah.
and that is what you do, that is the theme for this week. So okay. some of these are from kind of workouts and things like that,
workout videos. Okay.
And then some of them are from absolute smut and filth.
Yeah.
Found from the deepest, darkest corners of the internet.
Which I will know, I would know nothing about. Because
you would never, you've never ever seen a pornographic movie in your life.
My entire life, no.
And
no.
I feel so sorry for the lovely intern here at FUBAR Radio. She has to go through these and find them for my show. So sorry about that. So are you ready to go into the first one?
I am indeed.
All right, this is your first clip.
Gym for sure.
Okay, you think that's the gym?
Wait, play again. They sound so similar.
Yeah, do you think that could be
either way, right? Gym for sure.
Yeah. I think
I can't tell from your face. I'm like, what's going on?
I recognise this sound clip, Joy. Not that I'm that involved with porn that I recognise everything.
Wait.
But I feel like that was from last week. I really recognise that.
What do you mean
Hang on, let me. I think I've made a mistake.
Right, let me try.
Right, let's try this again, shall we? There we go. That's the right clip. Okay, listen in.
Oh, that sounds like a nightclub. It sounds like people are like raving.
Yeah, you think that's people raving?
Oh, you're confusing me.
I'm deliberately confusing you.
Right, play one more time.
Okay, so think in your mind. Okay. Is this two people going at it like rabbits?
Yeah.
Or is this just a friendly workout?
I think it's two people going at it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Indeed correct. I think if I was guessing, yeah. I would have said that was a workout DVD.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the first one would have been a workout.
The clip that we weren't supposed to play that I played anyway because I messed it all up.
Yeah, I think that would have been
somebody eating chilies.
What?
And I knew because it was labelled chili porn. That was from last week. We did that last week. It was National Chili Day, you know.
Okay. Right, okay.
All right.
We got that one right.
Okay, yeah, you got one right. Okay. Here's your next clip.
Oh, you're not really giving me a lot, are you?
I'm giving you, can't make this easy.
Okay, just one more time.
There's a clear moan there.
Two people. Wait, you're trying to confuse me now.
I am.
I reckon that's two people, but because you said there's a clear moan there.
Yeah.
Then you're not going to give me the answer, obviously.
Maybe I would. Maybe I'm feeling generous. Maybe I just want to see you celebrate when you get the answer right.
I want to say that's two people having, like, full-on, you know, penetrative...
deep sex.
Either that or, you know, they're playing the game of flats.
So are we saying that this is porn?
This is porn?
You are wrong. That is from Jane Fonda's first ever workout from 1982.
Jane Fonda.
I see it. Yeah.
That sounds like people moaning. I don't know what Jane Fonda was doing in her workout videos, but honestly.
I'm going to go and work out to that, I think.
Know.
Yeah, I
Gosh,
do.
Gosh, okay, right. Got that one wrong.
You got one right, one wrong.
Yeah.
You know, could be worse.
Yeah.
All right, your next clip is...
Gym.
Yeah, you reckon? There's a lot of slapping.
Yeah, because nobody would ever slap anybody that hard.
Well, that's not true. You've never been home with me.
Yeah. Now I really want to have your baby. No, I reckon that's like gym.
Do you think that's from the gym?
Most deaf. Yes!
You are correct. This is Charlotte Crosby challenges her trainer. Don't know what that means, if I'm completely honest, but...
Gosh, Charlotte.
Charlotte, she...
What did they get up to?
Let's listen to her one more time.
Yeah, that sounds very...
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
All right, so you're 2 out of 3.
Yep.
Not bad. All right, your next one is...
That's it.
Oh, definitely a moan.
Wow.
You don't even have to play that one again.
I'm gonna.
Go on then.
That's it.
That's it. Mm.
That's it.
You kind of like, you know when you hear the sound, you actually kind of like imagine
what's happening.
Yeah. And it's not pretty.
So what are you visualizing? Explain to me what you're visualizing here.
So like, it actually sounds like two guys, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I can hear a guy's voice and the moan is quite deep.
Yeah.
But I might be told, this might actually be a workout.
It could be a workout.
But
it
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's it. Yeah. Like, that could easily be a workout. Yeah.
But then you know how guys always spot each other?
Yeah.
You know, like at the gym, is it called spotting?
Spotting,
like when
you spot
someone. So it could be two guys, but working out. Because you know what guys are like at the gym,
right? That's, I mean, I don't mean to be gender stereotypes, but.
That's it.
That's a man's voice.
Oh.
That's a man's voice.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Could be a man's voice.
Oh, but I don't trust you, Callum.
Oh, no, I like to fuck with you.
Yeah, I know. I can tell. I'd say that is. Two guys,
fucking.
Having sex. I like how you say the F word, like just casually. Yes.
Yes. Well, I
was
don't.
Was it two guys?
I'm
then?
Not sure. It just it's from the film Banging Busty Student.
Oh.
So that could be two guys, but busty makes it sound like breasts.
Yeah.
Makes it sound like breasts.
Boobs are involved,
but it was indeed
sure.
porn.
Yeah.
So you do indeed get a point.
Yeah.
Well done. All right, your last one.
Oh my god.
Is this beautiful little number?
Was he like finishing or it could be a guy finishing.
Yeah. Do you think?
You know, he's done the deed. He's planted the seeds and he's just about to like, you know, finish.
Just about like, to, you know, it sounds like.
It's like, you know, building himself up to the point where he just about finished. Or it could be a guy who's tried to lift a weight that's like, you know, just
too heavy.
And then he overextends his elbow.
Mm.
You know, like when people try and lift weights and they go, oh, like
that. Been there, done that.
So it could be, I'm going to go porn.
You're going to say porn?
Yeah. Oh, I might be wrong.
Joy.
I'm wrong.
You know I hate to do this.
Oh, man.
It was not porn.
Oh.
It was Mr. Motivator's Beautiful Morning.
Motivator.
Mr. Motivator. Also, I forgot to tell you the name of the first one, so let's play that back again.
Okay.
That was from Nina L. Takes a Big Dick. Just thought I'd share that with you.
Oh my god. Well, all I'm gonna say is, you know, when it comes to size, it's all relative. That's all I'm saying. Because, you know, you can't just say the word big for everybody, even if they look big, because they might be with someone else who is just, we don't need to get graphic, but I'm just saying.
You're right,
size
Joy.
Is very relative.
It is relative.
So he might not be big. He might just be with someone else who's very small.
And you know what as well? I just have to put this there. Like, I find something very attractive about a guy who has a smaller penis.
Well, you know, size is not everything, is it?
Yeah.
Size isn't everything.
Size isn't everything.
Yeah, that's very true.
So let's have a beautiful song. On that note.
Ooh.
That was Hey Now by London Grammar. And that was just a beautiful segue to go from porn or not porn to the disgusting game we're about to play. So this is the Wheel of Misfortune.
Oh my God, it gets better.
It gets better and better. So in this game, we have a lovely, lovely wheel here.
Which and I can totally see.
Look, it's real, okay?
Massive.
None of my guests ever commit to the fantasy of the wheel being real. Just have to use your imagination. Come on, Joy. So we have an enormous, fabulous wheel here. And on this wheel, there are lots and lots of different fetishes. And Joy's going to spin the wheel, and it's going to land on different things, and she's going to have to guess what those fetishes are by the name alone.
Gotcha.
Sometimes, you know, the name gives it away a little bit. And sometimes it doesn't help whatsoever. So, Joy, if you would like to go ahead and do... Oh, and I'm very excited. I've got some new wheel spinning sound effects.
Have you?
Yeah, okay. Spin the wheel. Sounds incredible. It has landed on emetophilia. Emetophilia.
Oh, this is where I show my absolute... I just have no idea. Something to do with feet.
Feet, eh? What makes you say that?
Do you know what? I don't even have an explanation for that. Because normally I have like a reason why I say things and like, I know. Something to do with the metro.
The metro, like
so
the underground.
Something to do with trains. Yeah, subways, undergrounds, people having sex underground.
I see where you're going with this, Joy. I see where you're going.
But obviously I'm
but
wrong.
You're so wrong.
Oh my God.
So unbelievably wrong. What you couldn't be more wrong.
I know.
Emetophilia is clearly, obviously, the sexual arousal from the sight, smell or sensation of vomit.
Ooh.
Obviously.
Wait, who has that though?
I get people have all kinds of fetishes.
I thought you were going to say I get it.
I have a metaphilia, Joy. It's nothing I love more than vomit.
Oh my God, really? That's a thing?
Yeah, so like people have fetishes for pretty much everything.
Well, to be honest, that's true.
And it's not something that they can help, and as long as it's consensual and between two people, then yeah, I know. Oof. it's weirding you out a little bit.
Wait, if you got in a relationship with someone and they then revealed to you that they had emetophilia, I mean,
on their birthday, and on their birthday,
you'd
and
be
if
like,
they were on death row, I'd let them have one as well. But that would be it, I think,
that's
for me.
Crazy,
but
though,
like,
isn't
okay,
it?
So like with this, when I was in a past relationship, there was no vomit play in a sexual way.
Yeah.
But there was a time when my ex-boyfriend, we were actually engaged, and he got so drunk that he was throwing up and he went to sleep. And in his sleep, he started throwing up. And I was in the bed next to him and I had to pick him up and carry him to the bathroom. And as I did that, he was projectile vomiting all down me,
on my face, down my chest,
down my body. And it was an unpleasant experience.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I was like, you know, it's just a bit of vomit. I'll wash it off afterwards. Yeah. So although I wouldn't personally get any sexual pleasure from it, you know, if I was madly in love with somebody and they were like, can I just vomit on you one time? I'd be like, go on then.
Well, to be fair, it happens with babies anyway, right? Like, not that we're parents yet or whatever. It's not
oh,
like,
you mean that they
but
vomit?
I'm just saying, but
not
like,
what you, I thought you were
but
saying.
You still love them. Oh my God, ew. No, no, but what I mean, like, you're saying that if you love someone, that like, you obviously wouldn't be freaked out by it because all you're thinking about in that time is, I don't want him, because people throw up and then choke on their own vomit and they, you know, you could die from that.
Yeah.
So like in that time, you're essentially thinking, I need to go and sort him out. You're not thinking about the smell or whatever.
You're not worried about those things. Yeah.
And, you know, babies stink, they poo, they vomit, they do, but you still love them.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of like a sexual way, that's a bit much for me.
It's a bit much for you.
Yeah.
It's a bit much for me as well. But, you know, shout out to those people that are into that, I guess.
You be you.
You be you. You do you.
Do you boo.
All right. Spin again. Joy.
Oh, I like this one.
That one was ridiculous. That's the most ridiculous sound effect I've ever heard. All right, it has landed on dacrophilia.
Oh, I've heard that before.
Dacrophilia. You've heard that before?
I have heard that.
Have you really?
I think I have heard that
before.
I'm
impressed. Dacrophilia. It's a tricky one.
It sounds a bit like crocodiles.
It sounds a bit like crocodiles.
Crocodiles.
Actually, there's actually a logical connection. There is a connection to crocodiles here.
Really?
Crocodile.
Could it be something with sharp teeth?
No. Oh, crocodile something.
Crocodile. Could it be some...
Crocodile something. What do we... Crocodile.
Skin.
No. Try harder.
I'm really trying. Crocodile skin. We love the skin. We love the...
We love the skin. What are you saying?
I don't know. Like, what do people like about crocodiles? Like, I don't know. We admire their skin.
Okay, you're going the wrong direction.
The tail or the...
No.
The teeth, the jaw.
Something about people. When do we mention crocodiles when talking about people?
Oh, crocodile tears.
Crocodile tears.
Oh, my God. So people who have, like, some...
It's the arousal for tears.
Really? People get aroused by that?
I guess so.
You kind of wish for someone to be sad and for them to cry, and then you get so sexually aroused, you're like, please keep crying, yes.
Oh, it's kind of awful when you put it like that.
Yeah, that's horrible.
I don't get aroused by tears, but I must say there's something quite compelling by a man, for instance, showing his sensitive side. Yeah. A man that's crying will always kind of draw my attention.
Yeah.
So like, But it's not going to give me a stiffy. I've not said that word in I've not said that word in so long.
I haven't heard that
stiffy.
Word in a long time.
Love that word.
But yeah, that's not as bad as vomit. So I can, you know.
You can get on board with tears.
Yeah, because people can fake cry.
Can't fake cry.
I can't either. I'm not an actress. But, you know, like if you see someone crying, it's not always because they're sad. It could be because they're acting. And some people just shed crocodile tears anyway. So,
sure. So you know. What you want to, if you do have a fetish, if you do have dacrophilia, then you want to get in a relationship with an actor or actress.
Yeah, or actress. Yeah, absolutely.
Very good.
A little fake cry for you all night long.
All right, give me one last spin, Joy.
Okay.
Excellent work. They go on a bit, don't they?
They do, slightly. I'm like, my arm's aching now.
I liked the one with the celebration at the end.
Yeah, the first one.
That was great.
Yeah.
All right, it's landed on dendrophilia.
Oh, God.
Dendrophilia.
Why did they all have D's in them?
Wait. get the D. Like the dick.
Is that part of it? Are you giving me a clue here?
No, I'm just like, get that D.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Joy. She wasn't warned about this section of the show.
It's also because I'm like inclined to believe you, but then I just remember that you're trying to confuse me.
I am
anyway.
Trying to confuse you. Dendrophilia. Like if you can speak Latin, there's a clue here.
Oh,
if you can't, you're fucked.
I definitely can't. Well, so I am definitely fucked.
It's just a guessing game.
Dendro. It makes me think of like Kendra.
Kendra.
Obviously wrong. Like, oh, I have no clue, man.
It's a hard game.
I have no clue.
It's a very hard game.
Dendro.
Just close your eyes. Say the word.
Dendro.
Say it slowly.
Is this going to embarrass me though? Like, dendro. Am I actually like swearing at myself right now? Like,
what comes to mind when you say the word?
Dendro.
Dendrophilia.
I honestly feel like something to do with Kendra, and she reminds me of basketball, like boy, like tomboyish girls.
Yeah, that's the worst answer I've ever heard.
Sorry, man.
It is the arousal from trees, obviously.
I'd have never got that.
Trees and tree hugging.
What? I would have never got that.
Yep. Wait. I don't think you tried hard enough.
Wait, people actually have that too?
Yeah, like go and hug a tree, get stiffy.
But then what do you do
with
it? Pop
one out over the tree.
Yeah, but seriously, like once you've got one, like do you know what I mean? Like for a guy...
Drill a hole, slip it in. I don't know what more you want.
And also the fact that every time like you actually have to live out that fantasy, you have to do it in public.
Well, no, you can get yourself like a nice like house plant. I'm sure that will fulfill your needs.
That's not a tree.
It's not
though.
A tree,
like,
though, is it?
If you were into this dendrophilia,
you're like,
I need a proper tree.
I need a proper tree.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to go out in public.
Well, you could get one in your back garden, couldn't you? And just tell neighbours, just don't look between 5 and 6. Well, I'm doing something in the backyard you don't want to see.
Exactly.
Just got a bit of dendrophilia.
Don't
worry about it.
Yeah, could do that.
Don't worry. Yeah, if you are going to have sex with a tree, you want to have sex with
a
fucking tree.
Proper tree.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so weird. Just imagine, though.
And this is what we talk about on FUBAR Radio.
Do you know anyone who has any of these, like, fetishes?
I have
the weirdest? As if. Okay, what's yours? Oh my God, Tina's just so open and honest.
Oh my God.
Go on, Callum. Go on. You gotta tell me now.
Talking about being open and honest, I can't be like, oh no, I'm not saying. Yeah, well, exactly. I'm not going to give you like my, I don't like to say the word weird because it's stigmatizing and it's judgmental. So I'm not going to say weird, but I don't want to give you my most unusual because why I like not? To keep some things to myself.
Oh, okay, fine.
But armpits is a massive one for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what, the smell of it or the look of it?
The look, the smell, like...
You love armpits.
Yeah, I do. I think they're really, really hot. And if a guy does this, I'm lifting my arms above my head. Do you know what they do? They sometimes stretch or they just kind of put their arms up like this and they lean.
Yeah.
And if they're wearing a vest, I'm literally like, oh my
You're
God.
You're all over that.
Oh
does it have
my
to be like
God.
Hairy or
no,
like...
No, I don't mind. Hairless, hairy.
Biceps or...
No,
it
can
matter.
Be a skinny little boy with tiny little arms or a guy with massive arms as well. Like, there's just something... Hot about it. I don't know why. Like,
do you like your own armpits, though?
Do I like what now?
Do you like your own armpits?
Well, I don't... Yeah, but I don't really look at any part of my body and I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, look at those kneecaps.
I do sometimes.
And that's okay.
I'm like, look at that ass, though. Have you seen my ass, though? I'm like, all these girls on Instagram, they're like, what's that thing that they say? Like, booty... No, not booty gains. Wait. Like you know, they try and grow their glutes and stuff. I'm like, mate... I was literally born like this, and it's not nice. It gives you back pain.
Oh, I guess.
But then sometimes I walk past my reflection. I'm like, that ass though, it looks good.
Yeah,
but
I feel
no,
you.
That's you know, if you are like into armpits, I thought maybe you might be into your own, but you're not. It's
not
okay.
Into my own. No. Okay. All right, that's enough talking about Callum's private life. Let's have a little bit of the girl who owns my heart. This is Dodie and 6 out of 10.
Love her.
Clark there.
Love her.
Such an amazing artist. I was going to say YouTube artist, but honestly, she's just an artist at this point.
Yeah,
she creates incredible music and incredible content. So shout out to Dodie and six out of ten there.
Hey, Dodes.
All right, we are live streaming right now on Joy's Facebook page for Sex Confessions. So thank you so much to everyone who has sent in a sex confession tonight. Do you want to give them the, if people want to watch Joy, do you want to give them the link to your Facebook page?
Yeah, so it's facebook.com/Joy Ogude. So that's O-G-U-D-E.
Nice.
So,
come and watch.
Facebook.
We've got little cameras here in the studio so people can see us.
Hey, guys, if you're watching. These are like, I feel like my Facebook, like people are like my Facebook fam, like my actual, because I do my live workouts with them.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like this is like
they're
my
here
fam.
With you.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're the ones who know me the most.
Shout out to Joy's fam.
I know. So hey, Facebook fam.
All right. So our first sex confession here today is... My boyfriend and I were dating, and they were making out in one of the disabled toilets in school. A teacher heard us and wondered what was going on. She was banging the door, and my boyfriend got a fright and headbutted my nose. Ooh. He broke it, and I was sent to hospital. My boyfriend was suspended from school for fighting me, according to the teacher. Wow. Imagine that happening, though.
I know. Oh, my God.
Like, if I'm completely honest, I kind of wish that that kind of thing happened to me.
Why?
Like, I know he ended up in hospital and it was, like, kind of dramatic. But at the same time, like, what a story to tell.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
I was in the disabled toilets having sex and my boyfriend gave me, broke my nose. And.
But why can't he just tell the truth, though?
Well, I think
that his boyfriend wouldn't be.
Oh, so do you think
I mean?
that he lied and said, "Oh, we were fighting,"
well,
rather than we were having
instead
sex?
Instead of like saying they were having sex, but you could have at least come up with something like, "Oh, he accidentally."
Yeah,
hit no, my nose.
Not like he'd beat me up.
Yeah, come on.
Well, it says according to the teacher, so you know,
maybe the teacher had
an agenda. Maybe the teacher
was maybe
homophobia in the school.
Yeah,
you never know.
Maybe true.
Well, that's a great story, and I kind of low key wish that was my story.
Kind of cute.
All right, the next one is, I can only get myself off when thinking about anime characters. Regular porn just doesn't do it for me.
I don't get the whole anime thing, I have to say, though.
I kind of get it.
Do you, though?
Yeah, like, I used honestly, to watch, like, did you ever hear of that show, Dragon Ball Z?
Oh, my God, yeah. Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, I used to watch that, and I low-key had a crush on, like, Goku and Gohan and Trunks.
How can you even have a crush on, like, an anime character?
I don't know, like, because they're, like, they're still people-ish. I used to have all kinds of weird fantasies about them.
Oh,
like,
God.
I'd prefer a real person, but if I can't have that, then, you know, pop one out to the anime. Yeah, I love a bit of that.
I just can't relate to that. But yeah, I mean, you know, fair enough.
I feel like maybe as well that they're saying that regular porn just doesn't do it for me. Presumably, like,
maybe
regular sex is fine for them. And maybe they just like that kind of detachment, that kind of escape into the fantasy world.
Yeah, perhaps.
So, you know, yeah, I kind of understand this person. I feel like this, me and this person would get
relate.
Along. Yeah. All right, next one. I masturbate while thinking about every single one of my teachers. I'm not even attracted to women, but it felt good because it felt so wrong.
Oh, my God.
I think we've had one similar to this before. This seems to be like a running theme of people masturbating over their teachers.
I think people fancy their teachers a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, my Facebook fam are legit watching this. I feel like I need to explain what's going on to them. Is that the camera? Is that it?
Yeah, that's the camera right
Oh,
there.
My God, you guys. I need to explain what's actually going on. I have no words right now. Yeah, I think people, like, generally fancy their teachers.
Have you ever fancied a teacher?
No, but I had a teacher in school when I was young, and I remember this really well because I adored him so much. I used to, like, get my mum to you know, buy stuff for him, like presents for him.
Oh, okay, yeah. I feel you.
But he was just such a good teacher. His name was Mr. Paul. Like, I had...
Oh, Mr. Paul.
There was nothing sex... I was, like, in primary school. Like,
sure.
I genuinely just loved how he taught, and I was, like, teacher's pet. I was such a good girl.
So maybe you had, like, a schoolgirl crush on him.
I wouldn't even say he was a crush.
No? Liked him?
I don't even think I knew what crushes were then. I was so young. Like, I didn't even know, like, anything about that. Like, and plus, it was my mom. Like, I used to just get her to buy him presents. And he used to treat me really nicely, and he never punished me.
Oh.
So.
Well, shout out to Mr. Paul.
I know, right?
Love Mr. Paul. All right, okay. I identify as non-binary, and I don't want to date another person unless they do too. But that feels so unrealistic.
Why is that unrealistic?
I don't think that's unrealistic.
That's not unrealistic.
Like, no. I do appreciate that there's a limited number of non-binary people out there.
Yeah.
It is a minority, so there's going to be less people out there. So I completely understand why they would think that was unrealistic. Yes. But I feel like within the queer community, we are so close-knit and we're drawn to each other that your chances of finding somebody else who feels the same are quite high, surprisingly high. So, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. Like, you are allowed to identify however you want, and you're allowed to be attracted to whoever you want. So if you're only attracted to other non-binary people, there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. You do you.
Yeah, totally. Preferences and all. Like, and yeah, it's not unrealistic as well. And I think if you go around thinking that certain things are kind of out of your reach, then they'll always be, because you'll never really sort of put yourself in that position, you know, to receive love from somebody who, you know, might be in the room and thinking the same as you, but then you're just like, nah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, yeah. Absolutely.
It's not unrealistic. Keep dreaming.
Keep dreaming. A realistic dream.
Yeah.
All right, we've got time for one more. So this is, I hate masturbating so much that I only like it when I'm with someone else. It's a problem when I'm not in a relationship. I can see that, because, like, if I'd left it like a week without masturbating, I would start to kind of feel that build up and start to feel that pressure. So if you don't like masturbating by yourself and you feel that you need that release.
Yeah.
I just pray
my mother is not watching this, because she likes
Joy's mother, I'm so sorry.
Mum, this is Callum. He's such a bad person.
I'm a bad influencer. I made her do this. She didn't agree to this. I put her on the spot. I'm sorry.
This is not my confession. Just saying.
None of these are Joy's. Let's just make that clear now.
These are all other people's. But yeah, I totally get it. Like, if you don't want to do it by yourself, then if you're not in a relationship, then that's kind of like a difficult thing to do. But if you're not in a relationship, that's because you can't. Like, trying to find the words.
Trying to tread carefully there.
Yeah,
Joy.
I'm like my mother is legit watching this.
Well, I think we should end it there, because I can feel your mother's eyes on me, and I feel like she's very upset with us both.
Have you felt a Nigerian woman's rage?
Oh God, I don't want to.
And the thing is, she has to like you. If we're gonna have babies, like.
She will like me. I'll iron this all over.
No, I'm joking. My mom's actually really cool. She's all right.
Well, Joy, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on today. This has been so much fun. You've been so insightful. You've been so wise. And if you are listening and you don't know Joy, please do go check her out and check out all her channels and all the amazing stuff she's doing.
And come join me on Facebook for my live workouts on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m.
Yay. And we're going to have a little boogie to this little song.
Yay.
See ya.
Oh my God.
Welcome, baby. Get up.
Get up in
the night. All the girls, them I want shake it. All the girls, them I want shake it. All the girls, them I want shake it. Shake it, shake it. Baby, I go take care of you, passing on me. Are you getting? Are you getting? All your problems are no say solution, na ego. Are you getting? Are you getting? Mama born you, your mama born you well, and you're beautiful too. I want to hold you, I want to hold you, girl. I love you, girl. I wanna love you well. I know you fell in love, but nobody got you. When I got to your body, oh, my baby, sick of me, your dough, your body, oh. Now you wake up on my money, oh. I like this your body, oh. Grab it, this is me, your dough. Your body, oh. Now you wake up on my money, oh. Girl, I want to know who be who. You go to a level. Where are you, Scooby-Doo? Most of your friends now, Baloo. My lord, I crack a tear. My lord, I crack a tear. Thunder fire, the best. We say I no go love you. Mama boy,
you
and you're beautiful too.
And you're beautiful too.
I want to hold you. I want to hold you. Girl, I love you. Girl, I wanna love you.
Girl, I wanna love you.
I know you fell in love, but nobody caught you. When I got to your body, oh, grab it, this is coming your door.